Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
That was not cool.
I'm always cool. I'm the post-birthday girl. You're to be the birthday girl.
To be like the birthday days. Girl, yeah.
She's going to be old, guys. The big 3-0.
Oh. The dirty 30. All right.
30 so this and flirty.
That's right.
Turn to be a mama birdie. 30
and flirty, 30 and, flirty and thriving.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I am thriving. Mm-hmm.
Thriving.
I'm in my prime.
The prime of live.
This episode is sponsored by Erica Barnes. Thank you.
You're one cool kid.
We appreciate it. Today we will be discussing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Aragog,
King of the Arachnids.
So make sure you've read the chapter and you're ready to get into those details. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for all your social media needs. Megan, what do you have for us today?
Swish and Flick Podcast can be found on all social media channels. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook and Swish Flick Cast on Twitter and Instagram. Also, make sure that you head on over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel. We not only have our podcast posted there, but we also have weekly vlogs, so you can follow us on our crazy Potter-filled adventures together. Subscribe, like, share, and comment. You can also join us on Patreon for exclusive access to The Felix Files, our bi-monthly podcast exclusive to patrons. You can also be a part of a Google Hangout session and even be a guest on The Felix Files. So head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. Shout out and huge thank you to all of our current patrons. You make this podcast possible with your support.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Oh, wow. Like, totally freaked me out. I mean, right on.
Taurus, you're our number one.
Swish and Flick is number one.
Eh, they're all right.
Is it time for the weekly Brawlbird?
It is. And actually, I believe that this just came out today, the day that we're recording. Mm-hmm. And that is that we have an official launch date for Hogwarts Mystery RPG phone game.
Now, is this for all phones?
All phones.
Yeah,
because
it said App Store and whatever that other one is.
I wouldn't go as far to say all phones, because if you still have a flip phone, you can't play the game.
This is AKA my dad.
Yeah, but it's going to be on the Apple App Store and Google Play.
It's starting called the iStore.
April 25th.
God, that's so soon.
I know.
It is super soon.
Were able to get voice cast members from the film series. Michael Gambon is voicing Dumbledore. Warwick Davis is voicing Flitwick. Sally Mortimer was Madame Pince.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know that. Gemma Jones is Madame Pomfrey.
MMA.
Yes. And Zoe Wanamaker is Madame Hooch. And then I also saw... Oh, yeah, that's right. Maggie Smith is going to be Professor McGonagall.
I love that these people embrace it still. Like, yeah. You guys are amazing.
I agree.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe, where are you at?
Yeah. They couldn't even be bothered to do the Hogwarts Express at the Wizard.
Oh, Hermione's?
Yeah, Rupert did. Hermione and Dan did not. There's a part where, like, Harry goes, heh. Instead of actually saying any words.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Do you have me recorded when I... Were we recording that day? When we were sitting on the Hogwarts Express and Hermione's part came on? And I was like, okay. I was so mad.
Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's just very distracting when you're on the ride. Like, oh, that just sounds so bad. However, so Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery will be live to everybody on April 25th, and I'm pretty excited because that basically means my life is gone.
Yep.
So. Well, do you think that, like, they're going to have issues? Like, didn't they have issues with Pokemon Go when it first, like,
it was horrible. Issues doesn't cover it.
Well, like, because I didn't play because I don't do Pokemon. Pokemon don't do me.
They can tell because of the way you say it.
I say everything weird. But, like, didn't people, like, have issues even just getting the upload? Oh, Lord.
It would crash,
getting it to download.
Yeah.
Oh, to download? I don't know.
It would just, like,
it was just overloaded.
And then, yeah. We'll see. Because I guarantee that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to crash. It's going to be a server fail. I mean, it's the way it is with all those games that are like that. So, you're just going to have to suck it up and deal.
Yep. And I will still play it, just like I played Pokemon Go in the beginning of the time of it, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. In other weekly profit news, I gave Sarah a birthday present early today. So we're recording this on the 5th. My birthday's the 11th, so it has passed if you're listening to this. Well, when you are, no matter when you are, it's passed. So it's funny, because mine's the 11th, Tiffany's is the 17th, and I have this certain item in my cart on Amazon that I'm like, I don't know if I should buy it or not. So she hands me this box, and I immediately know what it is.
She starts laughing, and
I'm laughing so hard. So, spoiler alert, she got me Ron's wand. So I see the box, and I immediately knew it was a wand. And so I'm dying. And I open it up. She goes, it's Ron's wand because you love him. And I go, Tiffany, you and I are the same person because I have a wand in my card on Amazon that I was going to buy you for your birthday. And I'm like, this proves that we're literally the same. This is not so the first time this has happened. Last birthday, I think it was, I got her.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
I got her from the Storybook Cosmetics Company, or I think it's what it's called. Mm-hmm. They used to have the wands that are the makeup brushes that were the actual wands, mm-hmm. but then, like, I think they were told to knock it off. So they have, like, wizarding inspired wands that are makeup brushes, like eye makeup brushes. So I got a notice that they came back in stock. So I bought one for myself and I bought one for Tiffany. So I give them to her for her birthday. No, I think you gave me yours first.
Yeah,
so you came in. But I think I gave them, like, right around the same time. So she hands me, she's like, I got your birthday present. She comes in, she hands me the thing, and I open it, and I again die laughing. I'm like, I got you the same thing. No joke. She's like, I bought them for myself. Did you buy those for yourself?
No.
So she got me the ones that are the actual wands, and then I got her the ones that are wizarding inspired.
So mine was better.
They're great brushes, to be honest with you. Like, I still use them mostly as my, like, as the, I usually am, those are the ones that I pick up to use for my makeup. And then the one time you got me, I don't play a ton of video games, but I really like racing games. And so I was hanging out with her the one day, I think on your, like, is that a DS?
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Racing? Diddy Kong Racing. Diddy Kong Racing, which I used to have on, like, our PS4 or whatever it was.
N64, probably.
Whatever. Something. I played it on something. It's not a PlayStation. Who knows? I clearly okay. You guys can tell that I don't play video games.
95. I don't know what it was called.
And so I used to play it all the time as a kid with, like, my siblings. And then so she had the game and I was playing with it. And she goes, well, you were playing with it so much that I bought you it. I'm like, I already own it because I have it for my own, like, little DS that I never play anymore. But you're the same human.
Same one.
That so long story short. Friends.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But yeah, you're okay.
It's right. Ridiculous. And it's time for the recap.
That was an especially good one.
It was.
Thank you.
All right. So, last time, now that we're back to Harry Potter, Harry heard the disembodied voice again on his way to a Quidditch match, and Hermione thought she might have figured something out, so of course, where'd she go? Ran off to the library. But Quidditch gets canceled, and Hermione has been petrified. So Harry and Ron go to ask Hagrid about the Chamber of Secrets, but when they get there, Cornelius Fudge, Minister of Magic, hauls Hagrid off to Azkaban, and Lucius Malfoy gets Dumbledore kicked out. Bye. So Hagrid lets on that maybe the boys should follow the spiders if they want to know some stuff.
And they also should feed Fluffy. I mean,
Fang.
Whoa. Fluffy's gone.
Fluffy's feeding himself.
Yeah.
You could feed Fang too, Fluffy.
This is true.
But isn't it, like, wouldn't that be a cannibalistic thing to do?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if animals dogs. Still, like, go by those rules.
Yeah, but, like, it'd be different, like, don't cows and, like, animals get sick when they're fed, like, meat that, well, first of all, they're not supposed to eat, but, like, that's, I think, how they got mad cow disease. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I have no idea. I know pigs will eat
that
anything.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, did you know they're, like, vicious? A lot of people on, like, a thousand ways to die, like, you get by a hog and you pass out, the hog's gonna eat you. I'm like, that's a horrible and terrifying way to die. A lot of those are head contusions.
So, be careful on the farm, y'all.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of wild animals. Oh
my God, what do we talk about on this podcast?
Harry Potter.
This is a good one so far.
Ron and Harry take Hagrid's advice to follow the spiders, sneaking out after midnight under Harry's cloak with Fang. They head into the Forbidden Forest, find the Ford Angley and a whole lot of spiders, much to Ron's chagrin. They almost get eaten, but they are saved by the car and it end up back in their room with Harry realizing he may already know someone with a connection to the Chamber of Secrets.
Bum, bum, bum.
Who could it be?
Creepy. We don't know. Or do we?
Na-na-na-na. I like how you said a whole lot of spiders.
A whole lot of them. I like that I came to my chagrin.
Yeah.
I can think of a chagrin falls.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, Rue. So our chapter begins with the summer creeping onto the grounds, and I am jealous because Ohio weather blows. I'm so sick of it, you guys. I apologize to Mother Nature on behalf of everyone today, so hopefully she treats us well. So the sky and the lake are described as being a periwinkle blue.
I literally just reached for the bell and I don't have one. Like, I've conditioned my brain.
You're like Pavlov's drooling dogs.
Yes.
So there are flowers growing in the greenhouses that are as large as cabbages. Cabbages.
You're such a cabbage.
I want to see these flowers. But the scene is missing something, and that is Hagrid.
Mm.
So I know. A lot's been happening since Hagrid was taken away wrongfully to Azkaban. No visitors are allowed in the hospital wing because Madame Pomfrey thinks that the attacker might return to finish off
the people who have been petrified, which means that Harry and Ron can't visit Hermione. There's also no Dumbledore. So basically Hogwarts is not feeling like Hogwarts.
Yep.
And fear is widespread across the castle because when Dumbledore was there, he pretty much made them all feel safe. I know that, like, I would feel much safer if Dumbledore was there rather than not being there.
Yeah. Yep.
Not that McGonagall doesn't do a good job.
No.
But... correct.
But, I mean, Dumbledore just has this, authoritative, but, like, soft and calming presence.
In his past, know? Like, defeating Grindelwald and all that. Jazz.
Yeah, he's a BA, so...
Yeah. So I'm going to just insert a question in here because I didn't want to forget about it. Where did Dumbledore go during this time?
Your mom's house.
His vacation home in Majorca.
Should this be our listener question of the week, and I'll put it on our social channels?
Ooh. Do it to it, my dear.
Alrighty.
Where'd he go? Where did he go? Nobody
I'm picturing him in, like, swimming trunks, like, on the beach. But I doubt that, because you know he was worried about the school.
Isn't it in Merlin, the Sword in the Stone, where Merlin is, like, with his long beard and, like, swimming trunks? Or am I thinking of something else?
When they turn into the fish?
Yeah, or something.
Maybe.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Well, maybe if we could tell grown-up kids to get to it.
It's so good. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Shout out.
Do you want to join us for that movie, Sarah?
One of my favorites. You should.
Yeah, see?
Dude, I'm digging it. Yeah.
So he, like, comes, I think it's when he, like, comes back from Bermuda. And he's in...
it's vacation mode Dumbledore.
That's a very Slytherin thing to do. Oh, I got kicked out of school. I'm just going to go on vacation. That's very Merlin.
Very Megan.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I just wanted to pose that because I'm feeling like... they don't still have a place at Godric's Hollow, do they?
The Dumbledore?
Do they stay at school year-round?
Mm-hmm.
I think some teachers do, but I would think that not all of them. Well, we know Snape doesn't, right?
No, he has a house.
Doesn't
Neville... Maybe he went to Snape's house. Maybe. Nobody's there.
Maybe they had sleepovers. Mm. That's they weird. Braided each other's hair.
Maybe Lily he stayed at the Hogshead with Aberforth.
I thought of that, but they hate each other.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think he hates him.
Well,
has feelings towards him.
Hate's a strong word. You know, that always derives from something else.
I think bad blood, you know? Yeah, there's a rift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So we can speculate more about that later if we want to come back to it.
Yeah.
Never. So Harry spent a lot of his time trying to figure out Dumbledore's parting words to them, and it was pretty much confusing the crap out of him. So I'm going to just read a quick blip from the chapter. It says, Harry constantly repeated Dumbledore's final words to himself. I will only truly have left this school when none here are loyal to me. Help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. And then Hagrid's parting words were much more straightforward because it's Hagrid. And that's just how he does it. But Harry couldn't find any spiders left in the castle. And think about that.
Yeah.
Think about how many spiders are in that castle to begin with. Think about, you don't even know how many spiders are in your stinking house.
Let's not talk about it.
And we're talking, well, you swallow like three a year or something like that. But, like, think about how many have already exited the castle. Like, that's a crazy amount.
Yeah.
Especially because they probably see them all the time. And spiders are always talked about in these books. So that's pretty significant. Giggle at my spiders.
Spiders.
Students are being escorted from class to class, and many of them feel good about that, and they feel safe because of it. But Harry's not really into that because he has no chance to actually search for spiders because he's always being watched. And then there's one lovely person who is enjoying this terrifying atmosphere, and that is Mr. Malfoy. Is anyone shocked?
No.
No.
Very much a weasel.
I guess I just don't understand why he's enjoying this. Like, I mean, I guess he feels safe probably because he's pure blood. But, like, I know deep down there Draco has a heart.
I don't think he, like, I think at this point he's still, like, a rotten kid where he hasn't really...
Yeah, that's true.
Had too many, like, troubles in his life yet. So I think that, like, the Draco that we see later on, he hasn't changed yet. He's still right now, a spoiled kid. Rotten kid.
Also, we know that the book or the diary got there because of Lucius. So even if Draco isn't aware of that, Lucius is still going to be like, yes, like, my plan is working. So maybe he's in a better mood, and maybe that's makes Draco kind of be in a better mood, because Dad isn't, like...
I kind of also have this, like, personal headcanon of Lucius being somewhat abusive towards Draco. So whether it's emotionally or verbally not necessarily physically, but...
But
maybe.
It could be, because if you think about the way that... Not to say that I'm putting... The way that Lucius views Draco as on the same level as the way that he treated Dobby, but, you know, he would, like, backhand Dobby and beat the, you know, what out of him. So it wouldn't surprise me if Draco's gotten, like, a backhand or something like that every once in a while. And I'm not talking about a spanking for your kid. I'm talking about a slap to, like, the face.
Right.
I could just see him just off the wall being like, you idiot, that mudblood beat you or whatever, and just, like, in scores or... Talking about Hermione.
That's so sad.
I think definitely he's emotionally abused by his father, though, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I see it.
Well, we should all just say we're speculating this. We don't know 100%.
It's just that headcanon.
Yeah.
Just thoughts to think about.
Pretty much my headcanon, too. So, Malfoy is gloating to Crabbe and Goyle about how his father basically got rid of Dumbledore single-handedly, which, hey, he pretty much did. And he and his father think that he is the worst headmaster, and they would want a headmaster that wouldn't want the chamber to be closed, but to just, you know, remain open. And Malfoy suggests to Snape that he should be the Snape master.
I'm the master of the snakes. Snapes.
He should be the headmaster. And Snape smirks, and he kind of brushes it off, but I think it says he has, like, a thin smile or something like that.
Foreshadowing. And,
like, majorly.
Yeah.
And, but Snape is like, you know, the headmaster is going to be back soon. Because, you know, I mean, Snape has nothing but respect for Dumbledore.
Yeah, so. Snape knows that it's not going to last.
But just at this moment, it was really too bad that he didn't catch it, because Seamus pretended to vomit in the corner in his cauldron. And so I just wanted to read a little Malfoy quote from this chapter, because he's just so poetic. I'm quite surprised that the mudbloods haven't all packed their bags by now, Malfoy went on. Bet you 5 galleons. Oops, there we go. The next one dies. Pity it wasn't Granger. That's nice.
What?
Do you like that?
Little twerp.
I know.
Twerp. So Ron. Well, I could say a much worse word, but I'm not going to.
This is a G-rated podcast.
Yeah.
From time to time.
Cold shiver.
All right.
Malfoy's is it the Chamber of Secrets?
Could be Grandma's ghost walking through me.
Could be. But Ron, at this, Ron goes into attack mode. And yeah, I probably would too, because that's the love of his life. Jeez, get out of my head. But it went unnoticed because the changing of the classes happened at exactly that time. And Ron really can't afford any more detentions as of his second year. I mean, come on. She's cold chill shaking over here. It's kind of weird. So then we're going to Herbology, and the class was pretty subdued because two of their number were petrified, Hermione and Justin. And the students are pruning
Abyssinian,
that's what I was going to say, shrivel figs, and I literally couldn't find anything on these.
Yeah, I don't know what those are.
All I found was that it was in Harry Potter. And I was like, okay, well, that doesn't help me
at all.
That's like when I looked up Oliver Wood and it said parents, Mr. Wood Mr. and Mrs. Wood.
Hagrid's dad, Mr. Hagrid.
And Harry comes face to face with Ernie since their incident together, and Ernie apologizes for his behavior towards Harry. And then Ernie starts to speculate about like who the real attacker could be, since he now knows like it's not Harry, because Harry would never have attacked Hermione, and he suggests Malfoy. But I have to say this, like, these are kids, and it's really awesome for this kid to come straight up to Harry and to apologize for being wrong.
Shout out to Hufflepuff.
Honestly, I really, really like that, because you usually, you know, might not get that with kids, or especially adults.
Yeah.
Like, if you're wrong, like, admitting that you're wrong is something that generally most people find difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he went to his face and apologized for what he had said, because all he was doing was trying to protect a friend, you know, whether or not he was right or wrong and who he thought hurt his friend or was going to hurt his friend, like, that's just what he was doing. So it's a human nature, and it's understandable. And I really like that Ernie did this. So I just wanted to make sure that I got that in there.
I agree.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah, it's not something that would normally happen. So I like it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so after Ernie suggests that it could be Malfoy, Ron gets super snotty about it. And he's like, oh, that's a good idea.
I guess being like, oh, really, Malfoy? I never thought of it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Ron.
Stop talking to my friend.
Harry was quick to forgive Ernie, but Ron is not.
I would be Ron.
I would be
because
Ron.
he's being protective. It's one of those human nature things. Oh, you talked garbage about my friend, saying that he was like the heir of Slytherin, right? So it's going to take me a little bit to get over that, which I get. I'd probably be the same.
Well, and realistically, I get that he's like, oh, you would have never attacked your friends. But like, say if he truly was evil, like Tom probably would have done the same stuff. Like, does he really have friends? I'm like opening the Chamber of Secrets.
If he knew that the way to become immortal was to kill Bellatrix and like eat her heart, he would have.
Yeah, for sure.
Was that too deep?
Well, J.K. Rowling even said at some point, he's like, he never loved anybody. He loved power. Mm-hmm. So, like, say Harry really was that evil of a guy, he could have attacked his friends.
Could have.
Just a thought to think.
Mm-hmm. As they're in class, Harry notices spiders moving. Notice, none are inside the castle, but they're outside. And I said, clever Joe. Name that movie. Not Joe, but... No? Anybody? Bueller? Not that movie. Nope. What do they say? Clever girl. Come on!
Jurassic Park.
There it is!
Muldoon. What? No, I'm gonna ask you for a question.
Lightning bolt? Okay. Yeah. Alright. So spiders are scuttling in a straight line headed right towards the forest. That made Ron pretty unhappy to see. And then I made a note about Ron's character at this moment. He isn't like fully into his brave like Gryffindor trait yet. And that this task that he has to like come up against is the most difficult for him, because it's literally his biggest fear.
Yeah.
Like, this is what his boggart is. And
but he does it, and that's what makes him Gryffindor.
Right, and then I said, shout out to Ron for freaking facing his fear.
He's doing it for love.
That's right. And I said, it's his fate that he faces these things so young, because I feel like it trains him and toughens him up for when he has to help Harry save the Wizarding World. I mean, even though he obviously falters a little bit, which, you know, we'll get to that. And
he's just a human
being.
7 years. Okay. But, you know, it's like he's training.
Mm-hmm. Literally. It's training day.
Literally all these books are them training for the end. And then we go to another class. So this chapter is just full of, like, different classes. We're just running around.
Which I think is super fun. Like, this is some of my favorite parts of the book. Like, just day-to-day student life. That is what I, like, craved the most when reading.
Yeah, I agree. Because it, like, you felt like, I don't know, because I was younger when I read these, so I'd be like, oh, how would my school be like Hogwarts? Yeah. Science is potions. Oh, man. Anyways, so during Defense Against the Dark Arts class, the boys decide to go under the cloak to venture out to follow the spiders that night. And they also decide to take Fang with them because he knows the forest.
How intuitive of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's very smart.
Even though he's a bloody coward.
Well, and I think that, like, he's also, like, a comfort to them.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, yeah. They have a piece that, like, they're familiar with. And familiar with, like, Hagrid. It's a piece of him kind of there. He can't be with them.
Yeah. Right. And so they're pretty much deciding to do this tonight because they get kind of annoyed by Lockhart. Because Lockhart's all, he's pumped up. He's feeling good. He's like, don't you people realize the danger has passed? The culprit has been taken away. And even Dean Thomas is skeptical of this. And he says who?
Right.
And he says, my dear young man, the Minister of Magic wouldn't have taken Hagrid if he hadn't been 100% sure that he was guilty, said Lockhart. And the tone of someone explaining that one and one make two. So he's telling him, like, hey, you're an idiot. But it just pisses the boys off. Like, it just makes them really mad. They're like, no, it's not Hagrid. Like, the school is not safe. Like, if anything, it's more dangerous at this time.
Right.
And it just, like, makes me mad that, like, don't talk mean about Hagrid. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. He can sometimes be, you know.
Silly.
Not silly, but, like, with the creatures that he, like, partakes in, but, like, that he's around.
So a little irresponsible.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, but he, deep down, he cares, like, he's a caring person because he cares for all these animals. He cares for all these kids.
Mm-hmm. Think like, about the way that
like, don't ever talk bad about Hagrid. I will come for you.
Think about the way that he weeps over Harry's, quote-unquote,
like,
dead body.
Like, thinking about it makes me want to cry.
As he's carrying him.
Like, think about, like, when Aragog dies, or, like, any of the animals. Like, it's just, like, such a loving, caring person, and you don't think of that when you think of, like, a giant man with, like, a huge burly beard. Like, that's mm-hmm. not the type of person.
He's just a lover, guys.
Yeah.
He's just a lovey teddy bear. So, talking about the forest, they're saying they're going to take Fang. Ron mentions that there's werewolves in the forest, and I said, are there really, or is this just a rumor from Lupin Stace?
I think it's a rumor.
I do, too. I don't think they're that in the forest.
Yeah.
I don't think Dumbledore would have allowed, what is that? No, they don't call it coven. That's vampires.
A pack?
Is it a pack? Did they call it a pack?
Yeah,
I think it's a pack. But, like, mostly, I remember, like, in later books, whenever Lupin is part of the Order, he goes to, like, the mountains to find the wolves, doesn't he? The werewolves.
All I know is he just, like, goes underground, but I don't know if it's, like, literally underground.
Mm-hmm. When I think of underground, I think they're, like, under, like, in the sewers of cities and stuff.
Yeah.
You might be right, though. I don't. It's been a long time.
But I feel like it's very isolated and away from anything is where they kind of all congregate.
Yeah. Come on, Lupin expert. Where are you at?
That's why I'm doing this.
Harry gets a little spooked by the thought of that. And he brings up two good things in the forest, unicorns and centaurs. Because he's trying to, like, be like, but there's good things in the forest, too. Like, not all bad, right? Well, get ready, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said before, Lockhart's been in the best mood. And so that mood makes Harry so mad. It says he basically yearns to throw a copy of Gadding with Ghouls at Lockhart's,
no.
quote, stupid face. It says that.
It's interesting to me that, like, Harry would think that, not Ron. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Ron is the one you're, like, thinking he's going to be, like, his stupid face.
His stupid face, yep.
You know, it must be bad if Harry is thinking that.
Yeah, and it's only book two. We're not talking book five here, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so, guys, tonight, we follow the spiders.
Can it be butterflies, though?
Why can't it be full of butterflies?
I'll be honest, though. Butterflies also freak me out.
Yeah, I don't like bugs in general. Sorry for all our bug lovers.
Yeah.
They creep
butterflies
me out.
Are cute unless they're, like, right up close on you. Then they're a little creepy.
They can... All bugs can be far away from me. I'm not a bug person. All right.
All right. So, yes, we follow the spiders. Harry and Ron wait until well past midnight to leave the common room. So I wonder what that means. I feel like it probably means, like, almost 1 a.m.
Well, probably.
I would think, like, 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real late.
Because not only do they want to wait until, you know, the grounds and everything are quiet, but Fred and George were staying up late playing Exploding Snap.
That's noisy.
Yeah, I think that's a weird thing to be playing, like, super late at night.
It's Fred and George. Well,
maybe you can't hear it in the sleeping parts.
Yeah, maybe those are, like, silence. Yeah.
But Ginny is also hanging out with them in Hermione's chair, which makes me a little bit sad.
I feel like the trio...
BTFO.
The trio is, like, always, like, waiting for people to go to bed so they can sneak out. Like, do you think everyone else is like, these kids never sleep. When do they ever go to bed? Yeah.
Maybe there's other kids waiting to sneak out, but...
Maybe they can never do it because the trio is always sneaking out. Like, Harry left again. Dang it, go to bed.
So again, as they're trying to sneak out of the castle, it's very crowded with people walking and monitoring to make sure that everything is safe. But eventually they make it to Hagrid's hut, and Fang is super happy to see them.
Who has been letting him out? Because this makes me mad as a dog owner.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure someone has.
Yeah, someone has.
Does he have puppy pads in there?
No, I'm sure that he...
He's a little dog door.
Yeah, he does.
I'm sure someone's been letting him out. Who does? Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe Professor Sprout has been helping Hagrid out.
Somebody better be. All I'm saying.
Can you see the teachers, like, taking different turns? So, like, Flitwick goes out there and gets totally, like, barreled over by Fang.
Flitwick would totally let him out. He needs played with, too, though. It just makes me sad.
But Fang is barking so much that Harry and Rod feed him treacle toffee to glue his teeth together so that he doesn't wake anybody up in the castle.
A little snacksy.
This is, like, a part where I think about, I like at the beginning of the book when they first, like, are visiting Hagrid, and he, like, Harry can't answer because he's eating the toffee and his teeth are stuck together. So it's, like, those little bits were like, oh, this is important. It's going to come back later on because they feed it to the dog.
Yeah, yeah. Is this the first time that Harry uses Lumos in the books?
Oh, could be.
It might be, because he says Lumos, and then Ron's like, oh, good idea. Like, I would do it too, but I'll blow something up.
I think so.
I can't remember.
I don't remember hearing it before.
Yeah, I don't think they said it in Sorcerers or Philosophers, if you will.
So they use Lumos, and then they follow two... Thank you. Spiders, and I want to know how the heck they see two spiders in the dark in the grass.
Magic.
Well, they might be larger than normal spiders.
Also, sure too. I guess Harry is a seeker, and he's supposed to see things.
This is true.
Very easily. True. So.
He also wears glasses, so he has his eyesight is like 20/20. A bit.
He's better at vision than spiders are at crawling fast. Dwight Schrute would say.
And
he's better at vision.
If you're looking for it, you know,
yeah,
you're gonna spot him.
Yeah.
So it's they like, follow.
Never mind.
Sorry.
No, I lost my thought.
Okay. So they follow those two spiders into the forest with Fang, and they walk for almost 20 minutes without saying anything to each other. The trees start getting so thick that you can't even see the stars anymore, and everything outside of Harry's wand light is pitch black. This would absolutely terrify
me. My heart's like racing thinking about it.
You ain't nobody knows.
I am not a fan of that.
I would be okay if I had a friend with me.
That would definitely like make it better. But I don't know, like I don't like to say that I'm like that I have claustrophobia. But I think that sometimes I do. And it's
you
not
feel
like
claustrophobic
extreme.
In the forest?
Yeah, because
are
it's
you talking
so
about
dark.
Arachnophobia? What are we
no,
talking about?
No, because it's so dark, and then like you don't have a sense of direction.
Literally,
because
like,
it's pitch black.
The darkness is pressing in on you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I envision whenever I like read this part. Is that like the darkness is just like pressing against you.
That's deep, man.
I don't know. Okay, so the spiders eventually wander off the path that they've been following. And even though Hagrid had once warned them to not leave the path, they decide to follow the spiders because they think that that's more important. So they continue on and they walk for another half an hour.
Yep.
Sorry. And the ground slopes downward. The trees are still getting thicker. And then Fang suddenly lets out a great echoing bark, making both Harry and Ron jump out of their skins. They hear something moving.
Can you imagine, like, you're walking and again, in the silent woods?
Yeah, and again, you can't see anything outside of your wand light. That would just terrify me.
Actually, we need to insert a Fozzie Bear bark. Woof! That does not sound like that.
He sounds tough.
Woof.
Okay.
However, it is not a spider. It is the Fort Anglia. So that's
exciting. Hello!
Mr. Weasley's car was standing empty in the middle of a circle of thick trees under a roof of dense branches, its headlights ablaze. As Ron walks open-mouthed toward it, it moved slowly toward him, exactly like a large turquoise dog greeting its owner. The sides of the car were scratched and smeared with mud, and apparently it had taken to trundling around the forest on its own. So it basically turned wild in the forest. The car seems to have scared the spiders off, and they've lost the trail of them. But, dot, dot, dot.
Hey there. Right now you're listening to Swish and Flick. But with a switch and a flip, you could find yourself on an unexpected adventure. I'm Lane.
And I'm Iz.
And we're an unexpected podcast, talking Tolkien.
We're just a couple of hobbits.
Or a ranger and a wizard.
Coming to you from the Shire of America,
the beautiful state of Ohio,
and you can join us on an epic reread of The Lord of the Rings and much, much more.
Of course, after you're done swishing.
And flicking.
Check us out on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher.
And on Instagram and Twitter at UpTalkinTolkien.
And join our Facebook page, An Unexpected Podcast, to join the book club conversation and our fellowship.
There's no telling where you'll be swept off to. We'll see you in the Shire.
And remember, Frodo lives.
But suddenly, Harry, Ron, and Fang are picked up by something. Something that's making weird clicking sounds. And...
Hold on, hold on. What does Harry do?
Oh, yeah. One of the most iconic moments of the movie. And all Harry knew was that Ron looked terrified. And he was looking, I think it was like 10 feet above his head at something behind him. Yeah. So whatever was holding Harry was marching on six immensely long and hairy legs. And the front two legs were clutching him tightly below a pair of shiny black pincers. Terrifying. So whatever's carrying
like
him,
that.
Yeah, me either. Mm-hmm. This whole
what?
Section
being
like,
carried away.
Oh, this whole section is so detailed in the way she describes it. Like it scares me.
I wonder if she had like a dream about, like a nightmare about this or something. Could
yeah,
be.
I don't know.
It is.
Is she afraid of spiders?
She
puts herself as Hermione, right?
Yeah. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, she could put, you know, little traits of herself in each of them, but I guess. Twitter, dear Joe,
dear
are
Joe.
You afraid of spiders?
So it seems that they're headed into the heart of the forest, and the darkness lets up enough so that Harry can see that the ground is now full of spiders.
What?
So they reach the edge of this big hollow, the trees clear, and I wanted to read a little bit out of the book. The stars shone brightly on the worst scene he had ever laid eyes on.
Yup.
Spiders. Not tiny spiders like those surging over the leaves below. Spiders the size of cart horses. Eight-eyed, eight-legged, black, hairy, gigantic. I love the way she describes that. Like, it's just single words.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so scary. Yes, ma'am.
Double eights.
Ooh. Quack. Thank you. So I wanted to do a little bit of an acromantula profile. They didn't really have much on Aragog that isn't described in the chapter, so I just went for the creature itself. So they're usually, they have thick black hair that covers their bodies, and a leg span reaching up to 15 feet.
Gross.
Black, 15.
Isn't there eight, or no? I lied.
They have 15 legs. they are capable of human speech, and they possess near human intelligence.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Terrifying.
That's not
okay. How did that get that way?
I don't know, but it's not okay. They're untrainable, man-eating, and highly dangerous, and they typically originate... Yes.
They're a man-eater.
Oh my god!
Sarah's always coming in with the sings.
The tunes.
The tunes. So they originate normally in Borneo, which I looked up. It's the third largest island in the world, and it's the largest in Asia. And they usually inhabit dense jungles. So I guess the forest works for them.
Yeah, but they are not in Asia.
No.
This ain't. No. This is not Asia, no.
So they get...
Interesting.
They get carried into this misty domed web.
But...
And there's all these spiders around them clicking their little pincers all excited. And Fang's so scared he's not even howling anymore. Ron looks like he's silently screaming and his eyes are popping. God. Thank you. And the spiders, oh, they can talk. How nice. And they're all chanting Aragog. Super creepy.
Aragog. 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 Aragog.
What's happening? And from the middle of that web, a spider the size of a small elephant.
A small elephant. A small elephant.
Elephant.
I can't.
Elephant. Gross.
Think of just how many pounds a small elephant is. I think it's like 400.
No, it's
makes
like
me want to Ralph.
2 tons or something, isn't it?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's too much.
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of a baby elephant. What's the size of a small elephant? Google
too
it.
Too big for a spider. yeah. So this spider seems to be very old. There's gray in his hair, and his eyes are all milky white. So
get it again!
He's blind. But, guys, doesn't stop him from being horribly terrifying.
Mm-mm.
For some reason, however many rereads, especially of this book, because it's the one I owned for a long time, no clue rereading this that he was blind.
Really?
Well, but like, wait. But is not he blind?
Clue. Yes, yeah, it says he's blind.
No. Does it say he's blind?
Yes.
I don't think it did.
It does.
It just says his eyes are milky white.
No, it says he's blind.
He's blind.
Because I wrote in all caps in my notes, I said, what? He's blind?
Yeah, because of his age.
This spider has to be like 50 years old. He is 50 years old.
Yeah.
I did not remember that. Did you guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I know in the movie they say that he's blind. He's like, I never saw any part of the castle, which is not true.
I thought because he was in his box.
Yeah.
No, he does. He's like, the only part of the castle I ever saw was the cupboard, like where he kept me. But he wasn't blind when he was in
school. Well, yeah, I just figured.
But, like, I think in the movie they say he's blind, is what I'm saying.
No, they say it in the book.
I know that. What I'm saying
is... Hit me. Go ahead.
I'm saying that he was always blind in the movies, which is not true.
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Me neither.
I always just assumed that it was, like, I never saw anything but the inside of
my box. I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
But yeah, when I said that he was blind, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it.
Yeah. Poor little Aragog.
Just a little thing that I, forgot over the years.
Mm-hmm. Also, while Sarah's looking that up, me and Meg saw the Aragog that they use in the films.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, yeah, definitely the size of a small elephant. Freaking huge and terrifying.
Yeah.
What, but he's blind? Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost not have nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, like, if all the other, are all the other spiders the same size? Or close to his size?
I feel like he's, like, the king of them, so he might be bigger.
I think.
Well, he's probably like the oldest, so he is probably bigger, but, like, do you think they're still, like, relatively huge?
Oh, yeah.
Just think of, like,
cart horses.
Fort Anglia plowing through them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the size of cart horses, man.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Jeez. I have a picture of me in front of the Fort Anglia.
Yeah. Well,
ain't that special.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
It's blue, Sarah.
Oh, I didn't know if she was done or not.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, all right. So Aragog tells his little spiders to kill the strangers that they found in their hollow. Yeah, but you know, they're little to him. Ron is freaking out, and Harry shouts that they're friends of Hagrid's. Aragog doesn't seem to care or believe them because Hagrid has never sent people to his hollow before. But Harry tells him that Hagrid's in trouble and has sent them to him. Harry tells him that people at the school think that Hagrid has set something on the students, and that they have taken him to Azkaban. So Aragog then furiously clicks his pincers and tells Ron and Harry how it was many years ago, and he remembers it well, and that is why they made him leave the school. They believed that Aragog was the monster that was in what they called the Chamber of Secrets, and that Hagrid opened the chamber and set him free. We found out that Aragog had a castle, and that a traveler gave him to Hagrid when he was an egg, and Hagrid was a young boy.
Who do we think this is?
Well, I said it's very similar to when Hagrid got the dragon egg.
It could be Newt.
A similar situation. Not it really, or.
No, it is. But I'm just saying I want it to be Newt. Do you want it to be Newt?
I can see it being Newt, but it seems like a sticky situation.
Silly with their creatures.
Yeah,
I just don't want Newt to be responsible for everything like that. You know, I guess I wouldn't mind it, but like there's rumor that, you know, he has a connection with the Maledictus and Nagini now, and then he has a connection with Fox, and he might have a connection with Aragog. I mean, whatever.
What if we find that Newt is the center of all evil?
Oh, no.
Evil!
Fox isn't evil, though.
Newt will officially be the first bad Hufflepuff.
There it is!
No,
he's
awesome.
But it's interesting to think, like, because I did think, I'm like, who do you think would have given it to him? But, like, I can't see, I hope that I wouldn't see Newt giving him, like, an animal like that.
I mean, it's an acromantula. They're literally poisonous.
But at the same time, we're talking about
how old was he? 13? Wasn't he in his third year, him being Hagrid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know, but Hagrid, like, you know, just think about it. Newt really doesn't find any creatures to be dangerous. He doesn't even think that.
No, but I think he's more, the people around the animals are more dangerous. So, like, why would you give this to a kid that's in a third year in school full of other kids that are probably more willing to kill the spider than protect it and everything else? Not Hagrid being that person, but everybody else.
Yeah.
So that would be the reason why I don't think he would give it to him.
He does keep a thing called a swooping evil in his pocket, though. I mean,
this is true. So Hagrid cared for him, kept him in a cupboard in a box, and fed him scraps. He calls Hagrid his good friend and a good man.
Yeah.
That's right. Hagrid protected him when Aragog and Hagrid were blamed for the death of that girl, and Hagrid still visits him in the forest and found him a wife, Mosag. Which I looked up to see if that like meant anything. But apparently, and it is on urbandictionary.com, but I also found this on the lexicon, that Mosag is an urban slang for a very ugly girl.
Whoa! Jeez.
Which is kind of fitting because she's a spider.
Yeah, this is true.
So now they have a family of their own that has grown, as you can see, because there's many a spider. So Harry confirms that Aragog never attacked anyone. And that it's his instinct, but out of respect for Hagrid, Aragog never did. He never saw any part of the castle except for the cupboard that he lived in, and he was nowhere close to the bathroom where the girl was discovered dead. And Harry asks if you know what is attacking the students, because it's back. Aragog responds with, "The thing that lives in the castle is an ancient creature we spiders fear above all others. Well do I remember how I pleaded with Hagrid to let me go when I sensed the beast moving about the school." Aragog goes on to say, "We do not speak of it. We do not name it. I never even told Hagrid the name of that dreadful creature, or that dread creature, though he asked me many times." So, like, I was thinking we can compare this to how people won't speak Voldemort's names. Yep, like, they're terrified. Yeah. The fear in them is so much that they won't even speak his name.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry, knowing that they aren't going to get any more information out of Aragog, he and Ron go to leave, but Aragog is not letting them leave. He's, like, going to let his children have a little snack. because, you know, they're hungry.
It's just a snack ski, guys.
Yeah.
It's just a little, you know, a little people.
I just remember being so terrified whenever you hear him go, goodbye, friends of Hagrid. Friends of Hagrid.
Oh. He's just friends.
And I was like, what? Whatever. No.
Yeah. So Harry reaches for his wand, but knows that there are too many spiders to actually win in this fight. But out of nowhere, a blaze of light flamed through the hollow, and it's the Ford Anglia. Dun, 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 here to save the day. So Ron and Harry get in the car with Fang. The car's running itself without Ron having to push on the accelerator, and it drives through a bunch of spiders and plows through the forest, which is, again, when I'm thinking, like, A, the spiders are going to be dead or pretty banged up, and so is the car.
Yeah,
can there's going to be some dents.
Can you imagine those guts? You know, when you, like, smash a spider?
And oh, goes, yeah.
Imagine a cart horse-sized.
Think of, like, I don't know if anyone's...
I want to think about that.
I don't know if anyone's ever, like, killed a pregnant spider before, but think of hitting that.
No.
All the little babies. Babies spraying.
I literally just shuddered.
That happened to me last summer, but I was outside, so it was all right.
You make me want to barf.
I'm sorry. So Harry asks Ron if he's okay, but he can't speak. Fang's howling in the backseat. So they finally get to the edge of the forest. The car stops suddenly, like, so much that they almost get thrown into the windshield. Fang is throwing himself at the window, trying to get out of the car and, like, get back home. So Harry lets him out. He goes to get his cloak out of Hagrid's hut. He comes out to find Ron being sick in the pumpkin patch.
Pumpkins were especially large the following year.
And Ron is saying, he's like, I'll never forgive Hagrid because he made him follow the spiders.
Can I just say that I feel really, like, reading this chapter, I felt anxious because I wanted to, like, cuddle Fang.
Oh yeah.
All I can think of is Fozzie Bear, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this dog.
Yeah. And this is how good of a person Harry is. So Harry goes, I bet he thought Aragog wouldn't hurt friends of his, said Harry. That's exactly Hagrid's problem, said Ron, thumping the wall of the cabin. He always thinks monsters aren't as bad as they're made out. And look where it's got him, a cell in Azkaban. He was shivering uncontrollably now. What was the point of sending us in there? What have we found out? I'd like to know. And Harry says that Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets. He was innocent. And Ron gave a loud snort. Evidently, hatching Aragog in a cupboard wasn't his idea of being innocent. So they finally make it back to their dorm room, and Ron almost immediately, like, falls into bed without even changing into his pajamas and, like, is asleep. But Harry, like, can't sleep. He's trying to figure out what could be lurking in the castle, how it's getting around, how it was killed and wasn't caught. And all he sees are dead ends. And finally, he's about to fall asleep, and he realizes something, bolts right out of bed.
Lightning
and wakes.
Bolts?
Yeah. He wakes Ron up, and he tells him, what if the girl who died in the bathroom never left? Ooh, whoa.
Oh, could it
be?
Could it? Could
the
it?
Myrtle of Moaning.
Oh!
Moaning Myrtle is the girl who was killed by the creature. Could it be? Who knows? And it was terrorizing the school again. Dun, 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 dun! Sometimes Harry can put two and two together without Hermione being around.
When I read this the first time, reading it again, I remembered that first time reading it, and I was like, oh my god. Like, the connection to my little 12-year-old brain, it was blown.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, friends, it is the time to go bolts of lightning. Of the rest. Push on.
Sarah, you had one, right?
I have a couple. I've been writing them down.
Smart.
Give it to me. So this one's a little titch off topic. Do you think that towards book 6 that Draco still thinks Dumbledore is the worst headmaster?
No.
I think he might say it, but I don't think he actually believes it. He might say it just like... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Because if you think about it, talking into 6,
he's totally changed.
He can't kill him. He literally can't.
Yeah. Do you think he could have killed him in second year, whatever book we're reading?
Hell no. Excuse me.
Yeah, if he really thought that he was that big of an idiot, maybe Draco wouldn't have had a problem.
No, I mean, deep down, you guys, Draco, he's
a good dude.
Someone on our page said he's misunderstood, and I said, yes.
Misunderstood slash
product of his just environment.
Just raised in a bad environment. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, guys? He's the reason why I'm turning a little bit around on some Snape stuff.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to say that I
am
like
a fan
Snape,
of Snape.
But the choices he made were fine and the way he treated kids, blah, blah, blah. We'll get into that. Great Snape debate, whatever. But, like,
I can see
a little
that bigger. He also is a product of his environment. And if I can forgive Draco for that, and I think here's my biggest issue, I think, comparing Draco and Snape, is that this is one thing and one reason I like Cursed Child, because it redeems Draco for me, and I get to see that side of Draco in Cursed Child, whereas Snape dies, and, like, he does give Harry the memories, and that's, you know, the biggest difference between Draco and Snape for me is that, and this is one reason why I enjoy Cursed Child, because Cursed Child redeems Draco for me, and I don't really get to see that with Snape. Like, he dies too early so that I can't appreciate what he did. Does that make sense? Or I can't, like, see him become a better person as much as I see Draco become a better person.
Yeah, you just get to see the behind the scenes. You don't get to see the aftermath.
Exactly. You also have to think about all of these things that we see in the first 7 books that Draco does. He's a child.
True. Right.
He's not even, he's maybe 18 at the end of the 7th book.
Maybe.
Yeah. It depends. Like, I think his birthday is in June. So he's 18 at the most.
How do you know that?
So we see him making all these poor choices where Snape is an adult.
Right.
Doing all of these things. So that's another thing you have to think about, that Draco was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 12, 13 years old, he was kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
But again, that's all he knew.
Right.
Yeah.
And then by the time you see 6 and 7, he's reevaluating everything because his life is nothing like it was when he was growing up. So that's another thing to think about, you know?
I also compare Draco a little bit to James.
Yes.
And
I can see that.
Yeah. And if James becomes super likable in 7th year, enough for Lily to, like, want to marry him and, you know, and then I kind of compare him to James, I guess, more than Sirius, because, he's an idiot whenever he's 11, 12, 13, 14. But, like, as he gets older, he matures, and he also comes into himself a little bit. Whereas Draco is like, you know, I mean, you see that struggle. I really like how you see Draco's struggle in the movie, the final movie, because you can really see that he doesn't want to go to the other side to his parents. He really doesn't.
No.
Because I think that he really appreciates what Harry did for him with the Fiendfire.
Half-blood prince crying in the bathroom.
Yes. And it's you see that in the films. Like,
God, he did so well.
Shout out to really Tom Felton. Hey, Tom, do you want to come on our podcast?
we'll
do a whole episode talking about you.
Uh-huh. He can play guitar for us. I was listening to him sing on his Instagram.
I just want to hear him sing.
All right.
Give me some more.
My next question.
Do it.
How powerful is the basilisk, like, evilness to scare away spiders that aren't even in the castle? Like, how far out does that go?
Oh, what? Like a mileage range?
Like, they're running away from the greenhouses and they're not close to the castle.
I feel like they're fleeing.
I think they're going to their, like, home, you know?
I'm not saying where they're going, but, like...
No, like, to be protected. Like, with their fam. What are you saying, Megan?
Yeah, fam. I think that, like, they just know that they need to get away from the castle, and they know where to go that is, like, a safe haven for them. So even though, like, they may have seen them in the greenhouses, but they may have originated in the castle, and they just know that they need to keep going.
Do you think they fear the basilisk so much because if you look at a basilisk, you die, and they have 8 eyes, so that's like super death?
Did you just say super death?
Death with the cape.
Oh, I can't even handle you tonight, Katie.
That's what she said!
All right, you got another one in there?
I do. And this is just like a random thought. And I mean, I figure the answer is magic, but...
That's all.
Did Mr. Weasley ever have to put like gas or petrol in the car? And if so, like, did he, like how does it all work? You know what I mean? In the Muggle world or in the magic world? Because do we see magic, like wizards using cars? No. So like, how did he, is that another illegal thing that he did?
I don't know. I say no. I don't think it needs anything.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a Muggle car, was it not?
He probably took all those parts out and just, like, configured it to be, like, something else.
I think now, maybe it's pixie dust.
There you go.
Do you think all of the magical enchantments and spells or whatever he did on the car to, like, make everybody fit in there, make all of the bags fit in there and mm-hmm. all of that stuff and make it run, not on using gas or petrol or anything. Do you think that that's one of the biggest reasons why it like went feral in the woods or in the forest because, you know,
it was just so magical. Yeah.
And there's magic in the forest too. So like all of that affected it and turned it wild.
Yeah. No, I can get on board with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Things to think about.
Because then it's like, it has a mind of its own.
It does. Yeah. All right. What other lightning bolt round questions can we get to? Do you think you would have passed out had a spider picked you up around the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Probably would vomit.
I don't know if I would pass out, but it would just, like, I think that my adrenaline would kick in at that point, and I would just be, like, kicking and screaming and, like, causing as much of a ruckus as I could to, like, annoy it so that it drops me.
The biggest spider I've ever seen is, like, the size of my palm, and that still, like, haunts my dreams. So, to have one that's, like, bigger than me.
Where did you see one the size of your palm?
In the shed. Yeah. You're right. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
But it was mostly legs, but still.
I will say this. Like, there are some times where I'll see, like, a bug, and I'm totally fine. And there's other times where it terrifies me to my core.
Yeah, same. Like, I'm so the weird. Same way. Yeah, I don't know. It, like, depends on the mood that I'm in.
I see a bug. And I'll get it, and it's all good. And there's other times where, like, it just really freaks me out and I need to walk away.
So yeah. I feel like our listeners are family, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to tell a kind of an embarrassing story about myself because I think it's really funny now. So centipedes, as I've said on the podcast multiple times, are like I like spiders better than I like centipedes because, I don't know, there's something
about... It's all
about,
the legs.
It's the legs, and it's the fact that I feel like... They know me. They every time I squish one, they scream my name. Like, they just know. So this house that I live in currently, hello, alum. Our basement has a few. And that used to be my workout area. So every morning I would like sneak downstairs and have to like run across the room, turn on the light, and then like look everywhere to see if they're like scurrying anywhere. So long story short, I am in my bathroom going to the bathroom and I happen to look over and in the sink is a giant centipede staring at me. And it is all I can do, friends, to get my pants up and run out of this bathroom. centipede. And I am screaming, and Fozzie Bear starts freaking out, and Marty's not home. So I literally am an idiot, and I called him screaming, and he thought someone had died.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, just so mad. And so I shut the bathroom door for, like, over an hour. I wouldn't go in there. He went to go find it to kill it, and he couldn't find it.
Oh,
and then a little later that night, it was hiding underneath the toilet paper roll waiting for me.
No! It was coming for you.
It knew. Oh, and I heard it scream my name as he killed it. So you're all welcome for that lovely visual. I hope someone either snorts their coffee out or laughs out loud while wearing headphones and people give them weird looks.
Yes, that's always the goal.
Those are my best stories. Whenever people say that, I'm like, yes, goal accomplished. Yeah.
I like that when everyone's like, I literally spit my coffee out when Sarah was like, yeah, Dumbledore died. I was like, yeah, that's great. That's why I do this stuff I do.
Spit take. Hey, guys. Dumbledore dies.
Spit.
Yeah. So does my spirit.
All right. Do we have any more lightning bolt round questions, or should we go to this fan story?
I think fan story.
All right, do it up, Katie.
All right. So this week's fan story comes from Megan Valdez. She says, my first experience with Harry Potter was in 2002 when I was 7 years old. Ding.
Sorry.
I remember being in an after-school program and they played the Sorcerer's Stone movie for us. I was somewhat interested, but my mom came and picked me up right before the part where Hagrid takes Harry to Diagon Alley. So I didn't really get to see any of the action, and I ended up forgetting about it for a while. That's so funny. It's like we couldn't read. We read to write to that part, but she saw to write to that part.
Whoa. That's funny.
Then in 2003, I remember my third grade teacher having all the books in her classroom, and every day during quiet reading time, I would try to get my hands on one because I was curious, but they were so popular that I never was able to. I especially remember everyone fighting over Order of the Phoenix, as it had just come out. One day I was finally able to beat the other students to grab the third book, but obviously since I hadn't read the others, it didn't make much sense, and I only read one or two chapters. It wasn't until I was 10 that I properly read the first book after it was finally available to check out from the school library. By this point, I'd finally seen the movie all the way through, along with Chamber of Secrets. I read the book quickly, and I was hooked. After this, at some point, my older brother gave me his old books, so I had them all up through book 5. I blew through them, and Harry Potter instantly became my entire life. Totally understand. Yeah. It took me a bit longer to get my hands on book 6, but I finally got enough money to buy it right before a road trip with my grandparents in 2006 to Branson, Missouri. I read the entire trip. Even after finishing the book, I just started it over. Deathly Hallows was the only book that I was able to get on the day it came out, and I had originally planned to go to the midnight release. However, the experience was kind of dampened because it came out 4 days after my grandmother died, so it ended up being the day after her funeral. She lived with me and was one of my closest friends, and I was with her as she died. I was 12 at the time, and she was the first person close to me whose death I had ever had to experience. Because of this, I did not get to go to the midnight release, but I still got the book later in the day, and it was a huge source of comfort for me during this time. I felt more connected to Harry than ever before, as we both mourned the ones we had lost. I know that the reason I was able to handle it as well as I did was because of everything Harry Potter had already taught me about death and loss. As time went on, I continued to be obsessed, and I continued to go see all the movies as they came out. Over time, after the last movie was released, the obsession had begun to fade until I found this podcast. Now I'm as immersed in the world as ever, and it feels like I've found my way back to my roots. I love the community we've created, and I love that it lets the magic live on. I'm a Ravenclaw, and my secondary house is Gryffindor, which I've learned to embrace more. My Patronus is a Pine Marten.
Which is so cute. Just need to throw that out there.
What's a Pine Marten?
It's like a weasel.
Yeah, which is apparently in the same family as otters and weasels. My wand is Vinewood with a dragon heartstring core, which is exactly like Hermione. Love y'all.
And she loves Hermione. Isn't that her, like, one of her favorite characters?
She loves Ginny. Ginny.
Yeah.
Oh.
She loves
Ginny. Females. Strong women, whatever.
Strong female characters are the bomb. Yes.
I love that.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Okay. I love that she was able to, I like that she said she, like, mourned with Harry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yes, that book is so sad, and she was clearly going through a tough time in her life, but she just, you know, got through it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I enjoyed the part where she talked about how, like, finding the podcast, like, brought her back to her roots. Like,
yes.
That's how it is for me.
It's done that for me. Like, yeah, I know that we're doing it, and we just started out as, like, four friends trying to do a little book club, and it kind of turned into something
crazy.
Yeah, something bigger than we could have ever imagined. Yeah. And I don't know. I like that people feel that way about it.
Yeah. I know I wasn't as, like, I was obsessed with it when I was younger, like, obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and me and you would talk about it every time we got together, but, like, beyond that, I didn't, you know, like, I watched them a lot. I watched the movies all the time. We were pretty obsessed, I guess.
Katie, you guys for sure, but, I mean, I still loved it and everything, but, like, doing the podcast.
It's took it to another level, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just another immersion, you know?
Yeah.
There
was something else I wanted to say, and now I can't remember. Shad. Oh, yeah. I know what I wanted to say.
Well, I want to say thank you to Megan real quick. Thanks for sharing your story.
Well, yes. Thanks for sharing your story.
I also appreciate that you're, like, always on the group, too. Yeah. You know? Yes. You have a lot of good insights.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So thanks for being you. You're the only Megan in my life. Oh. Megan's like, what?
We've got Meg's Mashtails.
Meg's Mashtails. I heard somewhere, and I can't remember where I heard it from, but I think it was today, that kids who like read a lot of books are more understanding of other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I that feel like literally Harry Potter changed how I felt towards people who are different than me.
Yeah.
Because you never know what other people are going through. And you never know what's like under the surface.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just makes you so much more of an understanding person, especially like Lupin's story.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I completely agree with that study that was done. And if I can find, you know, the source of that study and who conducted it, I will definitely put it out there, but make your kids read, guys.
Well, and I think that I lost my train of thought. Oh, so like diving deeper into this, I've been thinking about, you know, each character, like especially the ones that are like the gray characters like Snape, or like the ones that are completely evil like Tom, like thinking of how they grew up and like what their backstory is kind of gives you a different perspective. Like you're saying, you know, you're more empathetic towards people and you're like, well, I don't agree with what they did, but I could understand how they got to that step in their life because of A, B, and C, like whatever happened. And
you have to think about how far we've come in this podcast just as hosts. Day one, we hate Snape. Episode one, we hate Snape.
I never said I hated Snape.
Yeah, whatever you're at. So episode 38, we're all starting to change our tune about him because we're starting to understand. No, we're done.
Katie, you're not. I am a little bit. I'm starting.
Well, and we haven't even done much talk about him yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more to learn.
Yeah.
Tiffany, I just had to give you a hard time.
You need to be more empathetic towards other people. And maybe
I understand it.
No, you don't have to agree with it. I don't agree with it.
He's okay, not my favorite character. I find this very interesting, that the Hufflepuff isn't being empathetic, but the Slytherin is. And I think that that's because Snape is a Slytherin. I'm not saying anything negative about you, but I think that I'm having a little bit more empathy towards him because, like, I have been craving lately, like, more good from Slytherin, you know, because like I don't know what it is lately, but like online there have been so many articles going around about like Slytherin hate and stuff like that, and I'm like, come on,
where's
guys,
the Slytherin aren't
we,
love,
aren't we past this already? Like,
is this 2003?
We just need to understand that, you know, being in Slytherin doesn't automatically make you
evil,
a bad person.
I agree.
And I think that I want to believe that Snape isn't a bad person because, like, I want somebody to come out of Slytherin house.
He's not a bad
that
person.
Isn't a bad person. Well, I mean, like, he is, but he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a great character.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So. All righty, Rue.
All right.
Shall we talk?
Yeah, go
about
for
other
it.
Things.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Oh, I'm shameless. No, anyone?
Never heard of him.
You're a liar. You're a liar, Fred. All right. So you can also find me on some other podcasts that are they're all right.
Oh my god.
So you can find me on a podcast called Box Trick, all about video games. I do the Nintendo portion. Currently doing a Pokemon Red and Blue playthrough. I have been sick. It's been neglected. It's been on the back burner, but we're going to get back to it next week. So you can check us out. Lots of episodes on Box Trick. And then I am also on an all Star Wars podcast called Rebel Watch.
Never heard of it. I think that main guy's a loser.
And Ezra Kirk.
Horrible person.
Ezra who?
What? I only know Ezra Miller.
Oh!
Oh! Where's my credence at?
So, Rebel Watch, yeah. So, Ezra and I are doing a journey through Star Wars where we are breaking down each movie and getting deep and sweaty with all the details. And it's great. You should listen to those. Box Trick, Rebel Watch. Do it.
Yes, and Katie and I have some fun side projects. We have a YouTube channel called Main Street 9 3/4 where we take you on all of our fun adventures, whether it be Orlando or Ohio. And also...
Or our kitchen where we're cooking things. Or...
who knows where.
Snuggling with our cats. You know, yeah, who knows? You know. Who knows?
And then... You want to do the podcast?
Yeah. We also have another podcast called Grown Up Kids. It's a Disney podcast, and we are doing a chronological analysis of Walt's movies.
Yeah.
Currently, we are on... We just finished Bambi.
Next week is Saludos Amigos.
Yes.
Well, I've never actually, heard of that one. Saludos Amigos will be coming out whenever you listen to this episode.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, my project, because I'm the coolest kid here, is I plan on buying all of the Harry Potter merchandise Barnes & Noble has to sell. And once I'm done with that, I'm going to start buying Star Wars stuff, apparently. So,
good goals. And
wasting a lot of money over there on books.
It's not wasting. Such
fun things.
Sarah, you're
And then I'm going to have to buy or make a new bookshelf to cover, like, to hold all of these things, because I'm running out of room.
You're going
to
make a bookshelf?
I can make a bookshelf. You just need wood and some nails and a hammer. If I legitimately wanted to make one, I'm not dumb.
Make it. I challenge you.
Do you really think I don't know how to make a bookshelf?
I need you to make a bookshelf.
Oh my God. I can do it.
All right, make
it. Can you guys vlog this?
Yeah.
I also have to make the,
it's going to get dangerous.
Quidditch pitch for the pool.
Yeah.
Guys.
That's a project I'll be working on once summer hits, or hopefully before it. So maybe May.
May.
For sure.
All right, so that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
You're so terrible sometimes.
I didn't say anything.
Amazing! Just my voice!
I need the bookshelf to happen. I want to see a bookshelf!
But you have to buy the wood and stuff.
Oh my god!
I mean, I could do it. I put the other one together. I just put the back out wrong.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.